Exodus 39, 1 through 31, these are God's words. Of the blue, purple, and scarlet thread, they made garments of ministry for ministering in the holy place, and made the holy garments for Aaron, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. He made the ephod of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and of fine woven linen, and they beat the gold into thin sheets, and cut it into threads to work it in with the blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and the fine linen into artistic designs. They made shoulder straps for it to couple it together. It was coupled together at its two edges, and the intricately woven band of his ephod that was on it was of the same workmanship, woven of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and of fine woven linen, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. And they set onyx stones enclosed in settings of gold. They were engraved, his signets are engraved, with the names of the sons of Israel. He put them on the shoulders of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. And he made the breastplate, artistically woven, like the workmanship of the ephod, of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and of fine woven linen. They made the breastplate square by doubling it. A span was its length, and a span its width when doubled. And they set in it four rows of stones, a row of sardius, topaz, an emerald was the first row, second row a turquoise, sapphire, and diamond, the third row a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst, the fourth row a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They were enclosed in settings of gold in their mountings. There were 12 stones, according to the names of the sons of Israel, according to their names, engraved like a signet, each one with its own name, according to the 12 tribes. And they made chains for the breastplate at the ends, like braided cords of pure gold. And they also made two settings of gold, and two gold rings, and put two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And they put the two braided chains of gold and the two rings in the ends of the breastplate. The two ends of the two braided chains they fastened in the two settings and put them on the shoulder straps of the front of the ephod in the front. And they made two rings of gold and put them on the two ends of the breastplate on the edge of it, which was on the inward side of the ephod. They made two other gold rings and put them on the two shoulder straps underneath the ephod, toward its front, right at the seam above the intricately woven band of the ephod. And they bound the breastplate by means of the rings to the rings of the ephod with a blue cord, so that it would be above the intricately woven band of the ephod, and that the breastplate would not come loose from the ephod, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. He made the robe of the ephod of woven work, all of blue. And there was an opening in the middle of the robe, like an opening in a coat of mail, with a woven binding all round the opening, so that it would not tear. They made on the hem of the robe pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet, and of fine woven linen. And they made bells of pure gold, and put the bells between the pomegranates and the hem of the robe all round between the pomegranates, a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, all round the hem of the robe to minister in, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. They made tunics, artistically woven of fine linen, for Aaron and his sons, a turban of fine linen, exquisite hats of fine linen, short trousers of fine woven linen, and a sash of fine woven linen with blue and purple and scarlet thread made by a weaver, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. Then they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold, and wrote on it an inscription, like the engraving of a signet, Holiness to Yahweh. And they tied to it a blue cord to fasten it above on the turban, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. As the Lord describes the priestly garments, and especially the garments of the high priest, is very impressive. The amount of literal gold and jewels that are involved. The great kings throughout history will have gold and jewels formed into a crown to put on their head. Some of them have gold on their garments. Really, the entire robe for the high priest is made out of the crown. The whole thing is gold and jewels everywhere. The quote-unquote breastplate was a breast pouch, span by a span, so this big and full of four rows of engraved jewels, and just astonishing. And yet, whereas in other nations and other cultures, that would be the robe of the high king, this is just a servant's outfit. The king, of course, is God himself, but his footman is dressed like the greatest of the kings of the earth, and his people are represented in him, so that truly when we see the royal priesthood of the great high priest, and we come into the New Testament, and we realize that we have been joined to Jesus by faith, and we come with Jesus, dressed in him and his glory, his righteousness, into the Holy of Holies to be God's servants too, that he has made us a nation of kings and priests, that he has elevated us in Christ above the highest of men in any other circumstance. And if God would bless this to us by his Holy Spirit, we would be cured of all craving for elevation and recognition, notoriety, and praise, for there is nothing so high as to be joined to his high priest and to be welcomed into his presence. Well, as he provides this for his people, and we heard about those things before, back in chapter 28, where all of these things were being described, as he provides this for his people, particularly for Aaron and for his sons as the priests of the people, the representatives of the people, we see several sorts of wisdom that he provided, by which he provided the garments for the priesthood. And the first sort of wisdom is obedience. This is the highest sort of wisdom there is, to obey the word of God. He is God and we are not. And if we just have a proper recognition of that fact, then we will see as the highest knowledge, the best knowledge, coming to understand what he says, to be taught by him, to be instructed by him. It is seven times in this passage, he says, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. Of course, the number seven is very significant in the Bible, a number of completeness, a number of divinity. And here he's showing that he gave exact obedience to the craftsmen as they made the garments for the high priest, the breast pouch, the other priestly garments, the turban, etc. And so there's the wisdom of the word, obedience to God. There's also wisdom of the world. When you look at chapter 28, and you look at this chapter, one of the great differences is this chapter includes verse 3. They beat the gold into thin sheets and cut it into threads to work it in with the blue, purple, and scarlet thread and the fine linen into artistic designs. The Lord gave them the technological skill to actually make gold thread. Now, we know now from other history, from outside the Bible, that this was something that was actually developed in Egypt. So this is one more thing, that the Lord didn't just store the wealth of the world in Egypt, but he had given the Egyptians a great deal of knowledge, of knowledge and skill, understanding mathematics, understanding physics, understanding how to do things. They're the first who made paper, and here, something that, of course, the Egyptians had employed in idolatry and the praise of themselves and their pharaohs and their nobility, it comes to be employed in the service of God. This very, very fine, finely beat out gold, and then getting it into a thin sheet, like we have aluminum foil, something like gold leaf, gold foil, and then cutting very thin strips off the edge, and manipulating even the strip so that it is has the character of a thread, and then the carefulness necessary not to break the thread as you weave it. Here is not just wisdom from God's word, it is wisdom from God's world. But notice that the wisdom from his world is used in service of the wisdom from his word. They use the skill, the technology, in order to obey God. It is submitted to him. One of the most dreadful things of what man thinks of as his own wisdom is that he is proud of it and he uses it according to his own rules and for his own purposes, and he shows that even his greatest wisdom is folly. It becomes the ultimate demonstration of his wickedness, not a wonderful display of receiving wisdom from God for obedience. And there is not just wisdom from the word and wisdom from the world. There is spiritual wisdom, that God is the one who can outfit a man to be holy to the Lord. And so the obedience and the service is all trusting that what God says, literally, on the head, on the crown of the high priest is true. That he has set apart a people to himself. And that because he has done this, the atonement that he provides really does take away sin. The righteousness that he provides really does make us right with him. That as the dreadfulness and the wickedness and the guiltiness of our sin is more and more evident to us in Scripture, more and more evident to us in the application in our lives of seeing it come out of our hearts, come out of our mouths, come out in our behavior, yet the forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God counted to us in Jesus Christ, that we would be certain that these things are true, because he once wrote on the gold crown on the head of a man, holiness to Yahweh, or holy to Yahweh. And surely he has done the same with us, for he has dressed us not in gold and blue and purple and scarlet, but he has dressed us in Christ. And if he has dressed us in Christ, then surely we are truly set apart, consecrated as holy to him. And if he has consecrated us as holy to him, surely he will make us holy by him. And the Spirit applying Christ to us will give us the holiness that we need to see the Lord, the holiness that we need to be happy in the Lord forever, so that heaven will be a heaven to us and not a hell. And so there's spiritual wisdom here, and what I mean by that is there is trusting in grace. This is spiritual wisdom. Spiritual wisdom is not achieving such a high level of theological knowledge that you can spiritually advance past those who are more ignorant than you are. No, spiritual wisdom is to trust that what God has provided is true, to rest upon him for our standing with him, to rest upon him for our progress, our maturing in grace and holiness. And then, of course, it is eternal wisdom that God himself is the great treasure, and he is worth more than gold. He's worth more than jewels. How do we know? Because here, gold and jewels are not the treasure. They are the uniform for going and being presented before the one who is the treasure, and having him present himself to us. The rest of the world was going after these things. Gold and sardius, topaz, emerald, turquoise, sapphire, diamond, jacinth, agate, amethyst, beryl, onyx, jasper, and so much gold, and blue and purple and scarlet thread, and so forth. The rest of the world was going after those things as if those things were the treasure. But for Israel, the Lord was showing them that these things are just how to be dressed appropriately in order to enjoy Him who is the real treasure. And this is the eternal wisdom, that we would not count earthly things, even these most precious earthly things, as far as man and rarity and beauty in the worldly sense are all concerned, that we would not count earthly things as the treasure, but that He who is from everlasting and to everlasting is our treasure. We are dressed, of course, now not in gold and so forth, because Christ, who is the treasure from all eternity, who is God the Son, has added to Himself humanity. He is the greatest thing that has ever been in this world. And the Lord offers to each of us to be clothed in Him when we believe in Him. So the Lord help us, my dear family, that we would treasure Christ, that we would trust in Christ, that we would obey His word, and that we would even learn all that we can about the way His world works, so that we may be most skillful and most useful in our obedience to Him and our service to Him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You and praise You for Your word. We thank You and praise You for giving Yourself to us, that You gave Christ for us, that You gave Christ to us, and that joining us to Him, You have given Yourself to us in Him, Yourself to us by Your Spirit, whom You have made to be with us and to dwell in us. We say the words, Lord, but our minds, our hearts can hardly reach up to the realities that the words represent. Help us by Your Spirit, O Lord, to grow in the knowledge of and the embrace of these realities. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.